Thank you, Blake. If you have a Bible, if you would please turn to the third chapter of the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start our final lesson today in Colossians chapter 3. It has been a good 8 days. We began last week in our gospel meeting with Brother Brady Cook and had opportunities to come together and to worship and study from God's Word each and every day. I know many of the ladies had Bible study yesterday. I had a few Bible studies myself yesterday, and it's been a good opportunity for us to be able to come together again today. Very rarely are we in a position where we have just day after day of opportunities to come together, study from God's Word, be edified by one another. And I hope that as you go back out into the world this next week, that you have seen these last days as something that can build you up, make you stronger as you go out. And, you know, we're always exposed to temptations. We're exposed to worldly influences. So hopefully we've gotten a good shot in our arm these past few days as we've been with one another studying from God's Word. Colossians chapter 3, the first three verses, I think, is a passage that's familiar to most of us, but we remind ourselves of this beautiful text. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Dwight Eisenhower made the statement that what is important is seldom urgent, and what is urgent is seldom important. The passage that we just read talks about those things that ought to be important to us, ought to serve as the focus, if you will, of our life. You know, in a dictionary, the word focus is defined to mean directed and concentrated attention or effort. When in fact, the book of Colossians here, the Holy Spirit leads Paul to describe that we are to set our mind on things above. We could think of that in this sense of focus. And the idea here is that all of the things that are on earth, and I think here Paul includes not only those things that are sinful, obviously those should not take priority, but I think in a broader sense, whether we're talking about things that are good or bad or neutral, those things that are on earth must be subordinate to the things above. They must take second place in our life. I'd like for us to end our time together today by looking a little bit at some things that Scripture teaches us about how to stay focused. And I'd like us to think a little bit about prioritizing those things in our life that really matter. I want us to start by looking at four passages that I think are familiar to most of us, but four that we could speak of as priority passages. One of the first, Brother Brady mentioned to us in one of his lessons, Colossians chapter 24 and verse 15. At the end of Joshua's life, after he had led the Israelites, when he comes down in Joshua chapter 24 to verse 15 and says this, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua says, here's my priorities. You choose for yourself, but here's what I'm going to do. My family, my house is going to serve the Lord. In Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus is teaching so many beautiful things about life in the kingdom, in submission to the Messiah, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, he talks to us about priorities and puts it this way. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Skip down to the end of this chapter. And let's notice in chapter 6, verse 33, where he talks again about priorities. In this familiar passage to us where he's talking to them about not being anxious for the things of life. And we'll come back to this a little bit later in the lesson, but says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And one final example in John chapter 6 that we looked at in our adult class some weeks ago, as Jesus talks to them about himself as the bread which came down from heaven, the bread that gives life to the one that would feed upon Him. In John chapter 6, verse 27, He says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him." Each of these passages talk to us about priorities. Talk to us in many respects about the very objective that we looked at in Colossians chapter 3 of setting our mind on things above. Well, let's think for a few moments. If we are to be focused in our life as a Christian, what's that going to look like? What are some ways in which we need to follow through with this? Well, I think one of the first texts that we looked at a moment ago points out one of the important ways that we do this. In Joshua 24, verse 15, you remember, he made a determined decision about who he was going to serve. "As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord." The focused Christian is going to be one that makes a deliberate decision at some point in their life, and then they don't let that waver, a decision to follow and to serve the Lord no matter what. If we're going to have the kind of focus that we ought to, and if we look at our life and realize, you know, I'm kind of wishy-washy, I'm not as focused as I ought to be, maybe it boils down to the fact that you've not made a Joshua-like decision in your life. You're torn in different directions. You need to make that choice like Joshua did. The focused Christian will be one that makes time in his or her life to pray. Look over in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35 at just one example where we see the life of our Master. And I think in so many respects, we can look at what Jesus did and just across the board, maybe we can't do the miracles He did, but when we look at His behavior and His activity and His character, we can do what He did and we will benefit from it. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there He prayed." The focused Christian will make certain that there are those times we put everything aside, we catch our breath, we focus on our Creator, we focus on heaven and what is important. Well, we talked in our adult class this morning about a record that we're given in Luke chapter 10. Look over in Luke chapter 10. And I'd like us to notice something that we learned there that shows that a focused Christian is going to be one that listens to God's Word even when there are other good and important things that need to be done. You know, before I read the text, as we think a little bit about, well, why is it that a Christian may allow his or her life to come to that point where they're not quite as focused as they ought to be on the things of heaven? You know, sometimes it may be because we get involved in sin. Sometimes it may be because we've lost our zeal or our love for the Lord. I think probably most of the time in the lives of Christians, the reason that we lose our focus is because there are just other things that demand our attention. There are other things that are our responsibilities or our obligations. And so as we're doing those, we just find it very difficult to focus on God's Word and to listen to God's Word because of the other things that we're doing. I think that's what we see in the example of Martha here. In Luke chapter 10, begin with me in verse 38. It says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" Now, I don't think we should draw from this passage that what the Lord would have us to do is to just neglect a lot of responsibilities and not follow through with our obligations because our priorities must be on spiritual things. You know, I heard years ago about a man that was so overcome once with generosity when he saw some others that were in need that he literally impoverished his family in giving so generously to those that were in need. Now, the problem is that then put his family in a bind and made it where he needed help from others. I don't think we're talking about that. But I think what we need to recognize is that in most situations, we have things we need to do. We have things that are our obligations. But if we will be diligent in our time management, if we will set priorities and say, well, I'm going to get this done, but I need to also recognize that I have just as much of an obligation to fulfill these spiritual things in my life, to set that as a priority. And I think what usually happens, you know, they often talk about how busy people are the most productive people. You know, you'd think it would be just the opposite, because you'd think that people that had so much to do, they can't ever get anything done because they have so many obligations. But what happens is people that are focused, people that recognize I've got these things that I've got to do, they figure out, here's how I'm going to do it. These things are important to me, and so I'm going to get these things done, but I'm not going to neglect these things. And I think as we apply this to spiritual matters, the focused Christian will recognize, you know, I'm just not going to be what I ought to be if I neglect the Lord in my life. If I don't leave room for my obedience to Him, my service and my honor to Him. The focused Christian, though, is also going to be one that refuses to compromise convictions. You know, we admire so much the example that we are given in Daniel chapter 1. He wasn't a Christian. He was a Jew that was following the law of Moses, and he was serving God in faithfulness to the law of Moses. But you'll remember that when, as a young man, Daniel and other young men with him were taken away from their homeland and were taken to exile into Babylon, and through kind of a strategy in which they were trying to change these Jewish young men into honorable Babylonians, they started this process of kind of re-education. And part of it involved the foods that they would eat and the things that they exposed them to. Now, under the law of Moses, there were some very strict prohibitions about what Jews could eat and what they could not eat. Now, under Christ, those things are taken away. And it's not so much an issue of serving God faithfully, whether we eat this or don't eat that. But for the Jews, it was. It was a matter of their service to God. And I want us to notice in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, as Daniel is confronted with this challenge, listen to what the text says. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, as we think about this as it relates to Christians, it may not be that it's a matter of foods that will defile us, as it would have been for the Jews. But there are other things. There are things in our life that, if we are focused as Christians, there may be those that we work with or those that are our friends that may try to pressure us to get us to do those things we ought not to do. But if we've got to focus on heaven, if we are setting our mind on heaven and not on the things of earth, we'll just refuse, like Daniel did, to compromise convictions. A focused Christian will not let Satan have a foot in the door. Over in Matthew chapter 16, I want us to notice the situation in which, similar to what we talked about in our adult class, Jesus would far ahead of time declare what was going to happen to him. And on one of those occasions, we read in Matthew chapter 16, and beginning in verse 21, it says, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.'" Now stop there for just a moment. In all fairness to Peter, I am certain that as a loving friend of Jesus, you think about it in your own life. You hear somebody say, you know, "I'm about to die. This is going to happen, and here's what is going to happen to me." Your instinct would probably be to say, "Well, no, we're not going to let that happen to you. You know, far be it for that to happen to you." That would be a demonstration of love. But what's different about this is Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is the one who is the suffering servant that from the very beginning of his entrance into this world, the purpose of his coming was to ultimately go to the cross to offer himself as a sacrifice on our behalf. When in fact Satan had tempted him, many of those temptations really related to ways in which Satan was trying to get him to fulfill that objective, but in a different way. Here's how I can get all the world to bow down and worship you. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth if you'll worship me, Satan would say. Now, in that context, Peter's words are not simply the words of a friend that loves him and doesn't want him to die. Jesus recognizes that if he heeds what Peter's saying, he's actually letting Satan influence his thinking. And so, notice the reaction in verse 23. But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." You know, sometimes Christians, I think, can be accused of just being too strict or being narrow-minded in their thinking. Or all they want to do is tell you, you can't do this or you can't do that. Or they just restrict their life so they don't have any fun. I want us to realize that sometimes when you're talking about those Christians, and I'm not talking about those that are just Pharisaical and making laws where God's never made them. But sometimes when it comes down to our life and what our focus ought to be and what we ought to do, the focused Christian is going to realize, you know, if I allow this influence into my life, it's letting Satan have a foot in that door in my life to lead me in a direction I ought not to go. So I'm just going to avoid that altogether. Is that narrow-minded? Is that being overly strict? Or is it being focused on what your objective is? I think the latter is what we need to think about. But the last point I'd make as we think about this idea of what it means to be focused as a Christian is a focused Christian will be one that presses through those difficulties that life throws at us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul, Brady I think read this passage for us as well one night, but 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 16, notice beginning in verse 16, Paul says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are seen are eternal." You know, there are difficulties that happen to us in life. And we as Christians can make a choice how we are going to evaluate those things. How we're going to let those things influence us. How much of our life we're going to let those things determine and set the mood and the tone for. Paul is not in this passage saying that the Christian life will be one in which you'll never face difficulty. But what he is saying is that the Christian life is one as you're setting your mind on things above. As you're focusing on those things that are eternal, it gives you a different perspective on the things that are here. Because you have to recognize, you know, it's hard and I don't like it, but it's temporary. You know, there's affliction, but Paul says it's light compared to that weight of glory that awaits us. A focused Christian has all of these attitudes, and each of us must ask ourselves, am I focused when I have other responsibilities, such as work or school or family? Do I use these opportunities to serve the Lord? Or do I kind of imagine that, well, I've got to get these things out of the way and then I can serve the Lord? You know, none of us has the promise of tomorrow. If we're focused, we'll see in these challenges, these responsibilities, these obligations, various opportunities in which we can serve the Lord. Do I find the time and energy to serve the Lord even as I fulfill these obligations? You know, even when we are engaged in what we might sometimes speak of as non-religious kinds of activities, our heart still needs to be set on those things above. And we might think, well, how can we do that? You know, how can it be that if I'm working my job or I'm fulfilling some other responsibility that doesn't have anything to do with the Bible or God's Word, how can I be focused on things above? Well, you can think about, how should I do this as a Christian? How should I speak to those around me? What reflects
an attitude of setting my mind on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, if we set our mind on things on the earth, that becomes everything to us. We can fulfill things and responsibilities having to do with earthly things while recognizing this is just temporary. This is not where my whole life, my whole identity rests. I want us to end by just making a few additional observations. You know, as we think about these things, the focused Christian is going to be one that has a focused purpose. The declaration, like Joshua, that says, "I will serve God." The focused Christian will be one that has a focused motivation. A commitment that says, "Nothing will stop me from serving God." That was like Daniel. That was like Joshua. That was like so many others. Even Jesus, when Peter said, "Far be it from you to die," he had a goal. He had a purpose. A focused Christian has focused action. They said to themselves, "I will do everything I can to serve God." You know, we must understand as we think about these things that focus in our life, if we are to set our mind on things above, it's not just optional. It's not just something that, you know, some people will do, those that are especially strong. It is something that's necessary if we are to be faithful to the Lord. It is necessary because God must always be the most important thing in our life. Go to Luke chapter 12 with me. Luke chapter 12. Let's read together, beginning in verse 16, and we'll go down to verse 21. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Now, is the focus of this that, boy, you shouldn't have lots of barns and lots of material kinds of things? Is the focus that, you know, the Christian shouldn't ever make any plans, just live kind of fly by night? Is that the focus? No, the very last verse of our reading there, verse 21, "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Was this man who had this attitude, was he setting his mind on things above? No, he was wholly setting his mind on things of the earth. There can be those that are very blessed materially. There can be those that fulfill obligations materially. But they can also be rich toward God. God must always be the most important thing in our life. Without focus, as Christians, we are not going to bear the fruit that we ought to. We're not going to mature as we ought to. Over in Luke chapter 8 and in verse 14. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. There in one of the accounts in which the parable of the sower is related and the explanation is given. I called your attention in verse 14, where Jesus explains those, that seed that is sown among the thorns. And listen to what he says. "Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity." I'm not going to bear fruit if I am so focused on, notice the way it puts it there, the cares of and pleasures of life. You know, they will be a distraction to me if I don't have the focus that I ought to. You know, the mind that is not set on earthly things, go back to Matthew chapter 6, is going to be the kind of mind that is so caught up in anxiety. We read a passage earlier in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek those things. Seek first the kingdom of God. But remember, that's in the context of talking about, don't worry about the things of this life. Notice with me verse 31. "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Will I have the right kind of attitude towards this life? Will I, if I don't set my mind on things above, am I going to be able to say that I'm seeking first the kingdom? Can I dismiss the cares and the anxieties of this life if I'm not setting my mind on the things above? No. Focus is necessary if I am going to be free of the kind of anxiety and worry that Jesus talks about here. Finally, it is focus that will keep us ready and prepared for the day of judgment. One final passage. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And as Paul talks to the brethren in Thessalonica about that day which will come one day for all of us, that day of judgment, he says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." If I am not setting my mind on things above, I'm not going to be watching. I'm not going to be ready. I'm not going to be prepared. And that day will overtake me like a thief. We must stay focused in our attitudes towards the Word of God. We must stay focused, setting our mind on things above. We do so by developing godly habits that will help us grow and mature, help us bear fruit. We do so by assembling and worshiping regularly, not allowing the things of this life to choke out our responsibility to the Lord. We do so by cutting out distractions. Don't let those thorns choke out our focus upon things that are spiritual. And if we look at our life and we realize I'm just not what I ought to be, then we need to repent. And as Christians, we need to refocus on heaven. Set our mind on things above, not on things on the earth. If you're here this morning and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you need to get your focus right to begin with. You need to set your mind on things above because you need to recognize that the God of heaven has declared to us the time in which we will stand before Him in judgment. And if in fact sin has separated us from Him, as it has all who are accountable before Him, then when that day of judgment comes, if we haven't set our mind on things above, we'll be condemned. We'll be eternally separated from Him. But begin to set your mind on things above by putting your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Confess that faith before those who are here and commit yourself throughout your life in your focus on things above to confess Jesus to those you encounter in your life around you. Repent and turn away from sin. Sin is a distraction. Sin takes us from that focus that we ought to have. And you've got to turn away from it and commit yourself to do those things that are right and be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, that your sin might be washed away, that you might become a new creature, that you might experience that new birth in which you're born again spiritually. And then as a Christian, live faithfully in service and obedience and worship to the Lord as you keep your focus on things above. We can help you. Won't you come? Always stand and sing.